Thank you for joining us here on Living by the Word Ministries. Hi, I'm Pastor John Coleman, the senior teacher here at Living by the Word. What we attempt to do as we present these Bible studies to you on a weekly basis is to stimulate your mind to think about particular subject matter, maybe for the first time in your particular Christian experience. We of Living by the Word have dedicated ourselves to the correct exposition of the Word of God. We are a ministry that sees ourselves as the watchdogs for a church that has lost its way. Now, since I've said that, that raises some concern because some of you may say, what in God's name or who in God's name has given you, Pastor John, and those men and women that work with you so eagerly, they're the right to do that? Well, we believe that in every particular age or time in the Christian lifestyle, that there are individuals that are called by God to do specific things. Therefore, we believe in the divine issuance of spiritual gifts. We believe that this ministry is a discernment ministry, meaning that we have the gift of discernment. We have a prophetic ministry in such a way and that we speak forth not any new biblical revelation, but rather those things that God has already said in the face of a Christian church that rejects, refuses to, and are greatly annoyed by the Word of God when it is proclaimed in a bold and forthright manner. Therefore, we continue with part two of our very important question, is it right to judge? That is a question that we are faced with. We said in part one that it is a question that puzzles many sincere Christians. A careful and open-minded study of the Bible makes it perfectly clear concerning this very vital matter in the Christian church today. Not only is it right to judge, but it is our positive duty to judge. My friend, many do not know what the scriptures command on this issue. We are to judge with righteous judgment as commanded in John chapter 7, verse 24. He told us that thou shalt rightly judge in Luke chapter 7, verse 43. The Lord asked, why even of yourselves judge ye what is right? He's asking a question in Luke chapter 12, verse 57. So therefore, what we do is we affirm what our Lord and Jesus, what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has said. We do judge. It is right to judge, therefore we judge. These studies are taken from the Fundamental Evangelistic Association in Los Osos, that is, California. And we are just happy to be able to use these writings that was written a while back by Franklin Huling as a Master of Arts in Theology, and we're just pleased with the opportunity to mention some of these things to you. Is it right to judge? Well, we believe that there are, and we got into this on part one, and we're going to continue it on part two, we believe that there are limitations of human judgment. In other words, not scruples. Our conscience concerning matters of the Bible and what the Bible directly speaks on judging. You see, a lot of people says that we have no scruples if we judge incorrectly, that we should not judge, we should not speak so harshly of our fellow brothers in Christ. They may not be as mature as we are, and that God forbids our judging our brethren concerning certain things. Well, I'll tell you, he forbids us to judge our brothers concerning the eating of certain kinds of foods or the keeping of certain days and things like that. Now, you can find that on your own, as we said last time. If you read it in Romans chapter 14, I believe that Paul addresses that whole situation. And it's a great, great chapter, really, for you to take the time. Paul begins in that chapter and he says, now accept the one who is weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One man has faith that he may eat all things, and he who is weak eats vegetables only. Okay, let not him who eats regards in contempt he who does not eat. And so, you see, here Paul is talking about, you can read that on judging. The Bible is replete with evidences on what we're to judge about. How about 1 Corinthians? Because it speaks of the issue also. In particular, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. I mentioned that the last time we were speaking. If you listened to the presentation the last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. Reads like this. And I may not read all the verses. I'm just giving you a brief overview of this judging area here. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all of it, and all that it contains. For if one of the unbelievers invites you, and you wish to go, eat everything that is set before you, without asking any questions for conscience sake. But if someone should say to you, this meat was sacrificed to idols, do not eat it, Paul says, for the sake of the one who informed you, and for conscience sake. Then he says, I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? Then Paul begins to answer the question. If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether, then, you eat or drink, or whether you do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. Now here Paul gives us a great explanation on judging. And he gives us, and this is, I believe that the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 through 33 text is an very excellent text for you, especially you Bible-based minds, to sit down and have a thorough discussion about what you can eat and what you can drink. Use that scripture. I think that it will stimulate the mind. And, you know, usually it comes up, well, can we drink wine? Well, I'm just going to say it right now. I have a heart condition. My doctor told me that every 3 or 4 days that I should have a little glass of red wine. He didn't tell me a half a quart. He didn't tell me a pint. He said a glass of red wine. I do not necessarily like the taste of wine. As a matter of fact, I wish I didn't have to do that. I only drink it because of medicinal purposes, because the doctor told me to. Now let's see that you've judged me because you've heard that. And you're going to say, John, you're not even saved because alcohol has touched your lips. Can't you take something else? Doctor told me what kind of wine to drink, and that's what I'm going to drink, whether you like it or not. Now you can judge me. But if I went by your house and I knew that the drinking of that wine would offend you, I would never drink it. As a matter of fact, if I knew that you were a weak brother and just knew that I had a heart condition, I would say, man, give me about 4 tons of grape juice because I need that to make up for that fermented stuff that the doctor told me to put in my system to open these arteries up or to enrich my blood in some certain kind of way. See what I mean? And I think that I have Bible to back that up when Paul tells Timothy to take a little wine for thine often infirmities or for your stomach's sake. Some of you have stomach conditions and you need that because with that alcohol in there, it works as a medicine. But I have difficulty with some of you wine bibbers out there that's hitting that bottle every time you get a chance. I mean, I have difficulty with that. But you have to look at the person's motives. You must look at their motives. But we'll get into that later. Look at, if you will, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is speaking about judging. And let's read that right now. For it says, therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Then Paul goes on and says, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now, I believe that Paul is making it perfectly clear right here. You don't judge me. What if I say, well, I don't feel like going to church this Sunday? What do you mean? Well, my daughter is graduating. I'm going to that graduation. Well, no, I think that you need to go to church, Pastor. You are a pastor. No, I have an associate. I have someone that can preach. I'll let them preach in my stead. I think it's important for me. No, if you don't preach on Sunday and you go to your daughter's graduation, you've sinned. I'm sorry, brother. You better check out my motives. Because, see, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 really shows you how to judge the person's motives. No, John, the Bible doesn't talk about that. Well, of course it does. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let a man regard us in this matter as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required that a steward is one that is found to be trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I should be examined by you, Paul says, or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. You see, only God can see in the heart. That is a scripture that you use for somebody that would tell you, no, you got to be on church on Sunday. You can't go to your daughter's graduation. I would say, I know I love God, and I know that God loves me, and he's judged my heart, and I'm going to that graduation, and I'm not sinning, regardless of what you say. See, friends, I'm trying to free you up from people that's going to put you in a vice grip, because that's what they do. The word of God is our proof text, is our answer. Now, you're not judging, not as to whom those are saved, because it says the Lord knoweth them that are his. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. That's what a lot of people do. They say, well, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're not saved. I'm sorry. You go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The Lord knows, oh, I'm filled with this spirit. I know I love the Lord. I know he loves me. I know I'm telling the truth. I know I'm doing his will. I know I'm walking in his way. I know how I'm living. I know when I sin. I know when I'm righteous. I know it. I don't need you to tell me. God will tell me before you even heard about it. Oh, I love the Lord. You see, we cannot look into anyone's heart and say whether or not they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. You can't do it. I can't do it. If they profess that they have, Listen, my friends, but we have a better test when we test ourselves according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is what it says. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, my friends, if this change has not taken place, then our profession is in vain. And there's a lot of folk in the church talking about, oh, I know I'm saved. I know I'm this. What are you doing? What are you doing outwardly? What are you doing inwardly? What are you doing behind closed doors? What are you doing out in the open? See, when people judge you, see, it's not about what people, listen, reputation is what people say you are. Character is what you really are. Let me say this and make this perfectly clear, especially Living by the Word Ministries. I can give a rooty toot less what any of you professing Christians say about me. I know a lot of you out there don't like me. You don't like my style. You don't like the way I teach Bible, because I'm right in your face with it. I'm not going to smile in your face. I saw two evangelical Christians. I won't name them. They were on some Christian television network, and they were both talking, and they kept smiling because they knew that the camera was on them. I don't do that. I don't try, well, you know, I'm going to talk about something serious, but I have this Cheshire cat grin on my face. I don't do that. When I'm angry, you know I'm angry. When I'm perturbed, you're going to know I'm perturbed. Jesus didn't have a smile on his face when he went in the temple and kicked their behinds out. Did he? No, he didn't. So what makes you think I need one on mine? No, you need to be chastened, and some of you need your behinds kicked out of church for that foolishness that you're practicing in there. I have judged you. I have found you wanting. When you want me to smile in your face, I'm ready to kick you in your rear end, because you need to jump to it. The church has lost its mind. I heard on a commentary today that the divorce rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world. Can you believe that? I heard in another commentary last week that the pornography rate is just as high in the church as it is in the world. It was stated that after a bunch of Christians went to a convention in a hotel, that they checked, to get this, that they checked the TV list, and in all of the Christians, well, not all of them, but in many of the Christians' rooms, they were watching the sex channels. Now, what do you make of that? See, they don't have the sex channels in their home, but when they go to a hotel, and friends, that's what the hotels do. They just say, well, let's see how many of these righteous people watch the Let's Do the Nasty tonight. There it is. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Oh, and I'm not saying that none of us sin. Please don't misread me. Please don't misread me. I've been there and I've done that. Please, please, please listen to Pastor John. I've been there and I've done that. All right? I know what guilt feels like. I know what sorrow feels like. Please, please don't misread me, because you've misjudged me. I'm no better than you. No pastor that I know is better than you. This word of God is eating me up. I cannot do what I used to do. And if I fall back into that, that is because the flesh has gotten a hold of me. And you need to pray for me.